Blog Talk Radio.
What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm fine.
No, really, you can tell me.
You wouldn't understand.
You might be right, but together, maybe we can find the answer.
Miss Clark, I have a Bible.
Trust me.
There's no reason to shout, but the impossible is God's chance to work a miracle, a miracle. So just know it ain't over until God. Until God says it's done. No, 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 it ain't over. Until God says it's over, keep fighting until your victory is won.
Just know.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. To God be the glory for the great things that he has done and that he is doing. We welcome you. I welcome you to Woman with Pastor Rebecca. God bless you, and thanks for stopping by. Amen. To be a part of the broadcast today. Today we will be talking about staying strong in tough times. Staying strong in tough times. And I welcome all of you on Blab and all of you on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Hallelujah. I welcome you all to Woman with Pastor Rebecca. We've been recording for a while on Blog Talk Radio. We have just expanded our platform to Blab, and we're excited to be here on Blab again. There's always an open seat here. You can always come in and talk to me about what's going on. And the same thing with those on Blab. You can always press 1 to let me know that you want to come on the air, and I will put you on the air. But I'm here to say that God is good and worthy to be praised. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Again, I am Pastor Rebecca Simmons. I co-pastor New Creation Christian Ministries with my wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons. And it is a blessing to be in the service of the Lord. We have been pastoring for about 9 years, going on 10 years, and we're on the battlefield. We're not coming off the battlefield. We're going to continue to do this work that God has called us to do. I want to welcome Andrea, God bless you, and also welcome Debbie to the broadcast here on Blab today. We're going to be talking today about staying strong in tough times, and I'm talking to women specifically. Men are always welcome, but my broadcast is for women. Again, I am a Christian pastor, so you will hear me talk about God. I know there's a lot of talk about God on Blab, but I am here representing who I am and not to take issue with anybody else's religion or with anybody's faith, but I believe strongly in having faith. And you will hear that as you listen to me. But I want to talk today about staying strong in tough times. When the going gets tough, the tough have to get going. You have to have that perseverance. You have to have the stamina to say that life is not going to beat you. You have to know that you were born to win. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is something that's deeply ingrained within me. This is what I believe. This is how I live. So I will be sharing to you about how I stay strong in tough times. My husband just got healed from cancer. We know there is no cure for cancer, but we do believe that God heals cancer. Amen. And my husband just got healed. Hey, Debbie, I just recognized who you were. You've been contacting me about your broadcast, and you wanted to do a Blab on this weekend. I am so sorry, Debbie. My Saturday was full, my Sunday was full, and I didn't get a chance to tweet you back. I am so sorry. I apologize for not getting back to you. But, yes, we will get together, and we will do a Blab on faith. I am looking forward to that. So we're talking again about staying strong in tough times. And I would say my husband, Pastor Anthony, was diagnosed with cancer in April. Now, he was diagnosed with cancer in April. When he got the diagnosis, we were all taken aback. We did not believe that cancer had hit our home, even though, you know, people would say, well, why not? Why not you? And that's the question that we are going to ask from now on when something tragic hits our home. Why not you? Cancer did hit our home, and we were devastated, but we had faith. Yeah, we were devastated, but we believe God. And we believe that although cancer had come to visit, that cancer could not stay. I wish somebody would hear me on today. Cancer could not stay because we believe that we are healed by the stripes of Christ. And even though sickness came, we didn't have to receive it, and we didn't have to allow it to stay. We didn't have to allow it to destroy us. We didn't have to allow it to kill my husband. We were not going to have him dying. See, my husband is only 52 years old, and he has too much work to do. There is no way that neither one of us were going to lay down and just say, okay, cancer, have your way. Oh, no. No, we began to fight. And when tough times come your way, when tough times hit your house, when you go through the fire, when you go through the storm, you have to fight. You have to fight. I'm from Newark, New Jersey. I grew up in Newark, and I say all my life I had to fight. I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior. All of my life I have had to fight, and I am still fighting. Things are not as difficult as they used to be, but I am still fighting. Every day of my life, I'm fighting. I'm fighting to be the best that I can be. I'm fighting not to let depression try to take a hold of me. I'm fighting not to be discouraged. I'm fighting not to quit. Because so often when hard times come, there is a tendency to throw in the towel. There is a tendency to throw up your hands and say, that's it. That's it. I've had enough. There's a tendency to get depressed. And I want to encourage you on today that no matter what you're going through, you can make it through that tough time. You don't have to give up. You don't have to get depressed. You don't have to quit. And if you are discouraged, I pray that by the end of this hour, and I'll only be here for an hour, but I pray that by the end of this hour, you will have hope for your future, that you will be encouraged to say, you know what, something that she said triggered with me, and I'm going to continue to move forward. I'm going to continue to fight. Just like we continued to fight in April when my husband got the cancer diagnosis. And we've been married for 19 years. We are in ministry together. We're serving the Lord together. We love each other. I love my husband. After 19 years of being married to that man, I still love him. I still have passion for him. I still miss him when he's away from me. I still try to do my best to be pleasing to him. Amen. I like laughing with him. I like talking with him. Amen. So we have a good marriage, and we wrote a book on marriage. We're authors. We wrote Making Marriage and Relationships Work, the book, and we have the movement on Facebook. So you can go over to Facebook and like our page over there. But we've raised four kids. Our baby is 17 years old. She's a senior in high school. She's on her way to college. She's an A student. She's in the top 5% of her class. She loves the Lord. She loves God. She loves Jesus. Amen. She's a virgin. She's holding out for marriage. She has a mind of her own. Very smart, very intelligent, beautiful girl. We have two boys that my husband had when we got married. They're doing well. One of my sons was developmentally delayed due to seizures that he had when his birth mother birthed him. And they told him he wouldn't have a normal life. They told him he wouldn't go to college. They told him he would have seizures all of his life. But he no longer has seizures. Come on, somebody. He no longer has seizures. He's leading a normal life. He's not on SSI. He goes to work every day. He can think for himself. He's 24 years old, and he has not had a seizure in, I would say, 16 years, since he was maybe 8 years old. God is good. God is good and worthy to be praised. And my oldest son is in Pittsburgh. So God is doing it. And then I have, get ready for this. And you guys, there's the open seat. Again, you can join me. But I have a 37-year-old daughter. I was a mother at 16. I was pregnant at 15. So when I talk about staying strong in tough times, I think I know a little bit of something about what I'm talking about. You know, I had her at 15, dropped out of school, went on welfare. But my God, was on welfare for 5 years. before I realized that welfare was not the road that I was supposed to be taking. That was not my road to success. So I went back to school, got my GED, went to college, and began to pursue my goals, my dreams, my ambitions. I worked on Wall Street for 18 years, quit Wall Street to become self-employed, started my business, my publishing business, began to write books and help other authors to be published. And have there been tough times in the middle of all of that? Yes, a whole lot of tough times, including in my marriage. There was a time when I hated my husband. There was a time when we both wanted a divorce. We have a blended family. We didn't want to be married anymore. We couldn't stand each other for the first 7 years of our marriage. We threw around the divorce word a whole lot. I said we both talked about getting divorced. You know, there was nothing good in our marriage that we could, other than the lovemaking. My God. And that wasn't enough to keep us together because we wanted out. I said we wanted out. But God had another plan. And we stuck it out through those tough times. And now, all of these years later, cancer comes. Amen. Thank you so much for praising God with me because this is a praise report. God is worthy. I'm telling you. Every time we thought it was over, every time we thought we couldn't make it, every time that we felt like quitting, we just kept on going forward. We just kept pushing because the word says, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So when we got to the point where we felt like quitting, we just remembered our vows, and we remembered that we had made a commitment before the Lord, and we stuck that thing out. And the Lord allowed us to fall in love with each other over and over and over again. So now in April, I'm to the point where I love this man. I mean, I love this man, and I cannot imagine my life without him. And he gets a cancer diagnosis. And we're sitting in the doctor's office, and I'm strong. I am just, yes, commitment is important. Debbie, commitment is just so important. And I'm sitting in the doctor's office, and I'm a strong woman. I am strong. I've been through a lot. I tell you, I've been through divorce. This is my second and last marriage. And I'm sitting there, and they told us he had cancer, and I know people don't live with cancer. So they said, well, you got to do this, this, and that. And again, I had my faith, but for a minute, I felt weak. Have you ever felt weak? Have you ever gotten to the point where you believe things are going to be okay, but just for a minute, you have this feeling of devastation? This feeling of doubt, this feeling of fear. I went through all of that, and I even shed some tears. And the Lord began to send people to help us to walk through the process. But we believe God. And let me tell you something, and I'm going to entertain. I see your comments, and I'm going to open up the seat. But let me tell you something. My husband went through chemo. He went through radiation at the same time, 6 weeks of chemo and radiation concurrently. And they said, you're going to be nauseous. You're going to lose your appetite. You're going to have diarrhea. My husband went through chemo and radiation, and he did not have any of those side effects. He went through there, and he did not look like he had cancer. He came out of chemo and radiation, and he looked fine. He went through the first surgery. And when he came out of that surgery, his surgeon said the next day when his surgeon came to see him, his surgeon said, you don't look like a man who just had major surgery.
Right.
And we praised God. So after 3 days in the hospital, he came home. And right after that, the devil got busy. My husband began to have complications from the surgery. Within 10 days, he was back in the hospital. Within the next few days, he was back in OR having another surgery. And this surgery didn't go that well. He came out of surgery with major complications. To make a long story short, he almost died. My husband almost died. And my mother's in Florida. I'm in New Jersey. I didn't even have mommy. I'm a strong woman, but I had a strong support system through the church. But I wanted my mommy. You know how it is when you just like, where is my mother? So, but my mother was there guiding me through the phone. But the bottom line is we made it through that tough time. We made it. My husband did not die. We prayed. We believed God. My husband continually kept the word of God in his ear gate. When you're going through a tough time, you have to feed yourself positivity. You have to feed yourself faith. You have to feed yourself the word of God. You cannot allow people to speak negativity into your life. You cannot allow people to say, well, my uncle had cancer and he died, or my aunt had the same thing you had and she didn't make it. We don't need to hear that. When you're going through something, you don't want to open up your ear gates to hear all of the horror stories about what happened to somebody else. Amen? So he made it, and he's home today. He's in the next room. I'm in the dining room, and he's in the living room praising God. Amen. Saying amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And I see LaShawnee, is that your name? Let me see what your name is here. She left out. But she said, when you have been brought together by God, then no one can tear you apart. He got to switch. Oh, okay, I see you got to switch to your phone. Okay, amen, praise God. But she's right. When God joins you together, nobody can tear you apart. And my husband made it through it. Now, that's his testimony. And a lot of people don't understand that when you're somebody you love is going through, you're going through too. And being his caregiver, I had to go through. I had to drive 30 minutes to the hospital. I didn't have to. I insisted on it. I didn't see any other way. I drove 30 minutes to the hospital single day to be with my husband. I was going to be there no matter what. He told me, he said, baby, you don't have to come. And I said, baby, I'm coming. He said, I want to tell you not to come, but I really need to see you. I said, well, I'll be here. And I was there, and at night driving home and being on the highway, it was all highway driving, but God did it. So I want to encourage you. I told you my testimony to tell you this. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, all hope is not lost. You can make it through it. You're going to make it. If you do not quit, if you do not give up, if you hold on to the faith. And there are three things that God wanted me to tell you about when you're facing tough times. I don't just want to give you my testimony. I want to give you some strategies. So I want to give you three strategies for dealing with tough times. Three, there is a woman in the Bible who had a son, and her son died. When her son died, she told her husband, she said, give me a horse. I want to get on that horse, and I want to begin to ride. And she got on that horse, and she began to ride out to find the prophet who had prophesied that she was going to have a son. When she got to the prophet's attendant, the attendant said, it's all well. And the woman said, it is well. Then she got to the prophet, and the prophet said, is it well? And the woman said, it is well. But in between this time, the prophet had sent his attendant to go to the woman's house. And when he got to the woman's house, he saw the boy, and he tried to heal the boy, but the boy would not come back alive. It was not until the woman said, I'm not leaving you. You have to come back to the house with me so that you can lay hands and bring my son back to life. The prophet came back with her, and he ministered to the boy. He laid on top of the boy, called on the Lord, and the boy came back to life. But the woman is who I want to talk about. The woman consistently said, even though her son was dead, listen to me, even though her son was dead, the woman said, it is well. And that's what I want to encourage you on today, to be like this woman, to be like this woman of faith who said, you know what, it looks dead, but it is well. There's another person in the Bible who went to the Lord, who went to Jesus when his daughter was dead. And he went to her, and it was the synagogue ruler. And he went to Jesus, and he said, my daughter lies at the point of death. He says, come and lay your hands on her so that she will live. So Jesus told Jairus, the synagogue ruler, he said, I will go with you. Now, as Jairus was walking with Jesus, the woman with the issue of blood came. And for those of you who know the Bible, you know that this woman had tried everything, but nothing worked. She had spent all of her money running around to this doctor and that doctor, and none of them could heal her. But when she heard about Jesus, she went to Jesus. She said to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And she pressed her way in. And she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says that immediately this woman was healed from her disease. Says she was made whole from her plague. Virtue, power. Oh, excuse me, I'm a preacher. Power went out of Jesus, and this woman was made whole. This woman was healed. I don't know about you, but I'm that woman. I'm like that woman. Have you ever been there? When you knew that nobody but the Lord could help you, when you knew that you had to touch the hem of his robe, my God, I didn't want to do this. I gave you the testimony about my husband with cancer, but I had something worse than cancer. My God, I had low self-esteem. You know, I had an issue of blood. My God, that had carried me from the age of 10. It had followed me from the age of 10 years old until I was 33 years old. I had been molested at 10 years old, and shortly after that, my father abandoned us. In the meantime, my household was troubled. Before my dad left, he beat my mom. They fought all of the time. Now, they both got saved. Thank God for Jesus, and their lives turned around. But from 10 until 33, I was out there looking for love in all the wrong places. I felt dirty because I had been touched in the wrong place. I had been violated. On top of that, because I was uncovered, there was an older boy when I was like 13 years old who came and stripped me of my virginity. I told him no, but he took that no to be a yes, and he continued to persist and have sex with me. I know now that he raped me. He was 19. I was not even 4, maybe 14 years old. And I spent the rest of those years equating sex with love. Giving myself to the wrong men. And because of the pain, I began to pick up stuff. I picked up marijuana. I picked up cocaine. I picked up relationships here and there. I picked up some bad habits. I started partying, hanging out, looking for love, looking for answers, looking for solutions, looking for healing. Like this woman with the issue of blood, I spent a whole lot of time looking for man to heal me. Oh, looking for things outside of myself to heal me, but nothing. The Bible says that this woman didn't get better, but she got worse. And that's the same thing that happened to me. I didn't get better. I got worse. My God, I was killing myself. Oh, I was drinking myself to death. I was driving, drinking. I remember driving my car one night. I was so drunk. And all I remember is hitting the curb. When I woke up the next morning and went down and looked at my vehicle, both wheels on the passenger side were flat. I don't know how I got home, but I can tell you that I know that God had a lot to do with me getting home that night. I know that there were some angels that were around my car. And then about a week later, I was walking up the steps to go into my apartment where I lived alone with my 16-year-old daughter who was pregnant. And I said, she was 17 and she was pregnant. And I said, there has to be a better way. I said, God, there has to be a better way. Now, I was not a believer. I said, there has to be a better way. That very next week, I met a man in the bar who told me about Jesus, took me to church, and today that man is my husband. Oh, yeah, the same man that I told you about that was diagnosed with cancer. God set me up. See, and what I'm saying is God has a better plan, and that's what we have to do. I was telling you I'm going to give you 3 keys because I'm only here for an hour. You can jump in the seat. I see you out there. I welcome you guys to Blast.
you could jump into the seat and talk to me. But I'm going to give you three things. The first thing is your perspective. When you have a problem, when you have tough times, your perspective is going to be very important. How are you looking at that situation? Are you looking at it negatively, like, oh, woe is me, this is the end of the road? Or are you looking at it like the woman with the Shulamite woman whose son died, and she went to find the prophet, and when they said, what's going on, they said, well, she said, it is well. How are you looking at it? Are you looking at it as Jairus, the synagogue ruler, looked at it and said, if I could just get to Jesus, oh, if I can just get to Jesus, I know everything's going to be all right. Are you looking at it like the woman with the issue of blood said, if I could touch him, if I could touch the hem of his garment, if I could get into his presence, there will be some power released from my situation? Or are you looking at it saying, you know what, this is not good. This is the end of the road. I'm going to die. I'm about to give up. I'm about to quit. You can't look at it through that perspective. You have to change the way that you are looking at that situation. You have to look at it through the lenses of faith. You have to believe that God has a better plan for your life. And you have to walk that thing out by faith. I know what it looks like. I know what it seems like. I know what you're walking through right now. I know that times are troubled. I know that you feel like quitting. I know that you have never been through anything like this before. I know that this is the straw that broke the camel's back, and you don't know how you're going to make it through it. But I came to encourage you right here on Blab. I came to encourage you that you can make it. Hold on. Don't give up. Don't quit. Hold on. Begin to change the way that you are looking at that thing. I'm not talking to you about positive thinking. I'm talking to you about having faith and believing that God can change that situation. My God, can you imagine waking up having to reach for the beer? Can you imagine waking up next to an empty bottle of wine because you drank the whole bottle? That was me, y'all. That was me. I'm telling you, I was so miserable. And only God could help me. Only God, because I felt dirty. I talked about feeling dirty. I felt guilty. I was like, it's my fault. It's my fault that I was touched. Maybe I was too pretty. Maybe I was too fast. Hello, how are you? God bless you. Welcome. God bless you. Maybe I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Maybe it's my fault that boy had sex with me when I told that man had sex with me because I shouldn't have been with him. But no still means no. I don't care where I am. If I say no, if you say no, nobody has the right to take anything from you. If you say no, nobody has the right to have sex with you. If you say no, that means no. So, I mean, I have to say, look, that wasn't my fault. It's not my fault that I was molested. It's not my fault that I was raped. It's not my fault that my dad walked out on me. It's not my fault that my father and my mother fought. It's not my fault that they drank all the time. It's not my fault. And you got to get to that point, ladies, where you say, it's not my fault. I didn't deserve this. I was a victim, but wait. Okay, you were a victim, but you do not have to live the rest of your life as a victim. And you have to hear me today. You don't have to live the rest of your life broken, busted, and disgusted. You do not have to live the rest of your life looking for love and all of the wrong places, waking up looking in the wrong faces. You know that man is no good for you. You know he doesn't want anything but sex. You know he just wants your body. He won't make a commitment to you. You deserve better. You deserve the best that life has to offer. You're not a side chick. You're not a jump off or a thought. They call it that hole over there. You're not that. And you are precious. You're more precious than jewels. You're created in the image of God. You're worthy of honor and respect. You are so beautiful. You're wonderfully and fearfully made. God loves you. God loves you. Yeah, you've been rejected. Yes, you've been neglected. You've been lied on and cheated to. I know I'm a woman. I know what we go through as women. When we're in the wrong relationships, if we treat ourselves badly, we allow other people to treat us badly, we let people just do all kinds of, because we're nice, and when we love, we really love. We give our heart. You know, we really give our hearts and our souls to these men that we love. But God is saying, I need you to give your heart and your soul to you, to yourself. I need you to love you. I need you to treasure yourself. I need you to enjoy your own company. I need you to know that you are valuable. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I'm passionate about this. I wrote another book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living. That was my second book. My first book was Nobody's Business, because I held this stuff inside for so long. And once I got saved, once I went to church, let me tell you something. Let me tell you this. I needed more than just to go to church. I needed to be healed. See, a lot of people are sitting up in the church and they're hurting. See, a lot of times we need more than just to sit up in a church pew. We need to look at ourselves in the face and say, girl, you tripping. You need to be healed. You know, you are tripping. You stone cold tripping. You're a hot mess. You need to be healed. Look yourself in the eyes and say, you need to be healed from the pain of your past. You are hurting. You've been victimized. And you're living your life as a victim, and it's time to change. It's time to get God's best. It's time to stop settling for less. So you got to change your perspective. Let's see. Amen. Amen. LaShawnee says, amen. We'll be sharing your blast. Please continue your ministry. I will be following. God bless you. God bless you. I appreciate that. I have to come out here. And there was a time when they would say, does anybody have a testimony? And I'd be sitting there wanting to say something but scared. And I only got free when I opened my mouth. You have to open your mouth and tell somebody. Open your mouth and tell somebody what's going on with you. Don't hold it in. Don't allow that thing to choke you. Don't allow it to strangle you. You got to see, you're choking off your own life. Don't allow your silence to choke you and stop you from living the best life that God has for you. Take it off. Stop choking yourself. Stop strangling yourself. Find your voice and speak up and speak out. Your testimony is going to help somebody else. So the first thing we have to do is find a way, change our perspective. What happened to you does not invalidate you. What happened to you, what they did to you, what they said about you, the fact that they didn't want you, does not invalidate you. Look at yourself. Can I encourage you to want yourself, to want you, to love you? Can I encourage you to accept yourself? Because if you don't want you, that's going to transfer over into your relationship. We teach people how to treat us. I tell my 16-year-old, I talk to my 16-year-old, my 17-year-old daughter like this, and my 18-year-old granddaughter. And they say, Grandma, my granddaughter says, Grandma has the best advice. Because you know what? When I was 17, when I was 18, nobody talked to me like this. When I was 25, when I was 30, nobody talked to me like this. When I was 40, nobody was open enough to just let me hear their dirt, let me hear what they went through, let me hear their struggles, and give me advice on how to deal with my life. Amen. How do I make it through these tough times without picking up some liquor? How do I make it through these tough times without going and getting in somebody's bed? How do I make it through these tough times? I need somebody to help me. And it was when I got a bundle of word. It's not just going to church. You got to make sure, you have to make sure that you are under sound doctrine. make sure that you are hearing a relevant word for your life. I can't just go to church. Don't just tell me what's in the Bible. Tell me, how does that apply to me today? I'm sitting here in this pew, and I have so much pain. I came to this church, and I'm hurting. Preacher, how can you help me? So that's why when I preach, I'm always going to be relevant. I'm like, what is in it for those people who are sitting before me? Because let me tell you something about preaching. Yes, yes. For years and years, Tartel says, I thought I was the only one with that testimony. And she said, testimonies change lives. Amen. She says, LaShawn says, apostolic faith, LaShawnee, I hope I'm saying your name right, apostolic faith filled and anointed. Standing with you, my sister. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. And come on in. The seat is open. LaShawnee says, but you are telling my story. Amen. And that's the point. When I wrote Nobody's Business, it's a novel, but it has so much realness in it. It's truth mixed with fiction, because I needed to purge my spirit and get it out, because it was contaminating my spirit. The money that I was so scared to tell, because I wanted to protect people in my life that I love, and I didn't want to mess up relationships with people. So I didn't even tell people who my molester was. Because you know what? At this point, it's irrelevant because he's not here any longer, you know? But when you are going through that, if he's still alive, I have found out through research that a molester will molest about 100 kids before their life is over, because nobody tells. That's why we have to tell. And if I had known that if I had known that 40 years ago, 42 years ago, then I would have told. But when you're a kid, you're scared. And you don't know how to tell. You don't know who to tell. You feel like it's your fault. You feel like you're going to get in trouble. They're not going to like you. Your mother's going to be mad at you. Your father's going to be mad at you. So you don't tell. But tell your children and teach your children. If somebody touches you, you tell me. Amen. So first, the guilt away. Take the guilt away. I want to strip the guilt off of you. I want to strip the guilt off. I'm trying to move my hand real slow. I want to strip the guilt off of you right now. Just move it off of you. Just lift it off of you like a burden. Just lift it off. I'm lifting the guilt. Just lifting it off of you like that heavy weight that bears down on us sometimes when we take the guilt of stuff that is not our fault. That was not your fault. Face it and then get angry, because you're already angry. That's why you've been hurting. But with the anger, now you have to forgive. My God, I didn't intend to give my testimony about that, but God meant for me to give it because somebody needs to hear it. But now you have to forgive so that you can be released to move forward into your future. Amen. Now you have to forgive so it can't hold you hostage any longer. I always tell people, let go of it so it can let go of you. Oh, come on. You have to shake yourself loose. Let go of the pain. Let go of the unforgiveness. Let go of the bitterness. Let go of the guilt. Let go of the shame. By these little words, I forgive you. I forgive that person who hurt me. I forgive that person who touched me. I forgive that person who cheated on me. I forgive that person who raped me. I forgive that person who lied to me. I forgive that person who lied on me. I forgive that person who mistreated me. I forgive that person who beat me. I forgive that person who betrayed me. Let it go so that it can let you go. Set yourself free by forgiving. Amen. And I'm off topic, but I know somebody needs to hear that. Forgive, let it go. Change your perspective. And this is on topic. It wasn't your fault. and you don't have to be mad anymore. Because the longer you're mad, the longer it's going to hurt you. The longer you stay angry, the longer it's going to hurt you. Amen. God bless you. I receive that. She says you're off topic, but on point. Amen. Amen. I receive that. The longer you hold on to it, the longer it can hurt you. Is when you let it go. What did I say? It is well. You have to begin to declare over your own life, it is well. So the first thing is perspective. The second thing is the promises of God. Get the promises of God over your life. You know, there's this thing on Blab going on where there are agnostic atheists. There's a whole lot of talk about God and does God exist and is God real and how do you know God is real and all of that stuff. And I have to pull myself in. Justify faith, I've had to pull myself away from these blabs because I don't have a question about my faith. But it begins to be a distraction, and it begins to pull me away from studying my word and meditating on the word of God. See, what you meditate on takes precedence in your life. We don't have time to meditate on doubt. We don't have time to meditate on, well, does God really exist? I don't have time for that. I believe God. I believe that he exists. You know, and God said to me last couple of days ago, he says, I said, God, you know, what's the intellectual response to something like that? And God gave me this statement. He gave me this statement. You know that I am real. This is what God gave me. Hear God. You know that I am real because I reveal myself to you. Oh. You have to hear God. See, sometimes we try to intellectualize our faith, but God said he would take the foolish things to confound the wise. So don't get tripped up. Don't get caught up trying to prove to somebody that you believe in God and that your God is real. Or that your faith is real. Don't get tripped up. Don't get caught up. Because that's going to take you away, and it opens the door for the devil now to come in and to begin to try you. Because you're already going through, my God, everybody listening on blog and on blast. And for blog, if you want to come in, just press 1, and I'll put you on the air. But everybody listening to me right now has something going on in your life. You're dealing with something with your husband, your kids, your weight, your finances, on the job, with haters. Oh, we're not even going to talk about haters. But you're dealing with something right now in your life. Now, do you have time for negativity? Do you have time for anything that's going to trip you up and take you away from believing that you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus? What are the promises of God? No weapon formed against you can prosper. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and never beneath. You have to believe God, that what God has for you is for you. And if God be for you, that's more than the whole world against you. Yeah, I'm preaching because that's what I do. I preach. I'm a preacher. And then you have to believe the promises of God. And you have to stand on the promises of God. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. But let me take it a step further. Without faith, it's impossible to have the victory in your life. When Jairus was walking with Jesus, they came from Jairus' house. They said, Jairus, leave the ruler, leave the teacher alone. Your daughter is dead. There's no use in bothering the teacher anymore. Jesus turned to Jairus, and what did he say? Jesus said, don't be afraid. Only believe. Oh, somebody got to hear me today. That's your word today. I know you're walking through something, and it's trying to scare you, and it's trying to intimidate you. There's a spirit of intimidation that's been sent out against you, and it's trying to get you to retreat, trying to get you to back up from God and back up from your faith and back up and give up and let the devil have his way with your whatever that situation is. But I'm going to speak those words to you right now. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Do not be afraid. Only believe. Get you a word over your life. Take this word with you. Take this word that no weapon formed against you can prosper. Take this word that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are already healed. Take this word that blessings and prosperity are in your house. Take the word that your seed is blessed. Your children are blessed. Take the word of God that you have a sound mind, that you have the wisdom of God. When you have Christ, because Christ is the wisdom of God, that God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind, and that your past can't have any power over your life because you are a new creation if you are in Christ, and the old things have passed away. All things have become brand new. My God. My God, you got to receive this today. You have to receive it. No more lies. Take this word with you. The devil is a liar. And the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There is an enemy of your destiny. There is an enemy that's trying to come and get you off track. There is an enemy that does not want you to have the victory. But you have to move forward in victory. You have to move forward in faith. Get you a promise. And the last thing is, put it in your mouth. Put that promise in your mouth. Let it be your profession. Like the woman in the Bible where it said, it is well. I believe it's, I have the scripture. I have to pull the scripture for you. But she said, it is well. I mean, when you get, for those of you who don't understand, I don't need liquor and drugs anymore. You can get high off the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. My God, the Lord moved so mightily in our church yesterday that we were like, God, you know, we were just like in another world. I couldn't even preach because we were acting like we were drunk. Remember in the book of Acts when they said they're all drunk with new wine? Yeah. Yeah, God will do you like that. He'll make you feel woozy. He'll give you the joy, that's unspeakable joy. And you'll be able to say, you'll say, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. They said, well, Rebecca, why are you always smiling? Why are you always happy? How can you have so much peace? And all I can say, it is the Lord. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. The world gave me grief. The world gave me sorrow. The world made me drink. The world made me get high. The world made me feel ashamed and embarrassed. But God gave me new life. Amen. He gave me joy, unspeakable joy. I can't explain it. Listen, I sound like a fool because I can't explain it. But I am happy. I am proud to be a fool for Jesus. Amen. I'm not trying to, I'm very intelligent and went to college and everything. But I know, what did the man say? They said, what happened? How did you receive your sight? The blind man that received sight. How did you receive sight? He said, I don't know. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. Come on, somebody. Can I get a witness here on Blab, here on Blog Talk Radio? I was blind, but now I see. Well, that's another testimony. I had cataracts. These are reading glasses. I see you say amen over there, Lishani. These are reading glasses. I had cataracts. One day I'll show you my glasses. These are reading glasses that I'm wearing here. And as you can see, they're not that thick, and I can read without them. Woman to woman with Pastor Rebecca. I see you guys, 13, been in 5. I read. I had very high astigmatism. Minus 17, minus 15 was my vision. I had Coke bottles. I said Coke bottles. They teased me in school. I had to fight all my life. I had to fight because they teased me. Because of my glasses, I was ashamed to wear them. I wouldn't wear them. I walked around without them, blind. Couldn't see my five fingers in front of my face. But God gave me 20/20. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. God gave me cataracts. God didn't give me cataracts, but I had cataracts in both eyes. And when I came out of that surgery, I had 20/20. Come on. So God is able. Listen, how do you make it through tough times? You believe God for better. Or you believe for better. You know that there is better. You believe. Change your profession. You will live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. That's why you have to get the promises of God and put them in your mouth. and let them be your possession. There is power in your tongue. There is power in your mouth. Let that be your possession. Speak life over your situation. Speak life over your children. Speak life over your marriage. Speak life over your health. Speak life over your future. Speak life over your career. Speak life, hallelujah, over everything that is difficult in you, in your life right now, everything that you're facing that is difficult. Speak life. And watch God turn that thing around. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, the seat is open. I have talked for an hour. I thank all of you. I see you guys talking to me on LaShawnee and Tarshell. God bless you. Amen. All of you here, you can come on in. The seat is open. If you have any comments or remarks, come on in and talk to me and say hello to the listening audience on Blog Talk Radio. If you just press 1, I see you over here on Blog Talk Radio. I see you. You press 1, I will put you on the air. Amen. Amen. Well, everybody wants to just listen to me. Well, that's okay because I like to talk. I'm a talker. I'm a preacher. I believe in the power of the gospel. Amen. So, listen, stay strong. Let me just leave you with these words. And then we're going to play a song. If nobody wants to jump in the chair. My denomination, I am non-denominational. Let me share a little bit about that. LaShawn asked for my denomination. I am Christian. I am a non-denominational Christian. I was, when I first received Christ, and I have the phone because I'm on blog too. When I first received Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I got saved in a Baptist church. You know, we grew up Baptist, African Americans, all the African Americans in the house say, ah. But we grew up Baptist. You fill out a job application, you go to the doctors, they ask you your denomination, and you say Baptist. So, my mother was Baptist. My father was Baptist. We didn't really go to church, but we were Baptist, okay? So when my husband met me in the bar that night and took me to church, he took me to a Baptist church. But they were a very unusual Baptist church. They were Baptist by denomination, holiness by choice, Pentecost by experience. So that was the mixture that I was trained up in for the first 11 years of my walk with God. So I learned how to walk with God in relationship. See, you can't be victorious through religion. You can't be victorious through religion. You have to have a relationship with God. You must have a relationship. Because if you don't have a relationship, then it will be a religion filled with rules and regulations, and you will despise the very God that you say you believe in. So you have to make sure that God, well, our faith, through Jesus Christ, Christians, we believe that we were sinners, all sinners, and that there was a gap between us and God. And that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us so that we would receive the forgiveness of our sins, salvation from eternal damnation, and be able to walk now again in relationship, in right relationship with God. Amen. So that's what it's all about. It's not just hellfire and brimstone. I have to admit, I don't preach about hell enough because hell, we're going to, you know, heaven and hell, if you're already saved, I don't need to preach to you about hell. I need to preach to you about victory. I need to preach to you about having a relationship with God. I need to preach to you about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. I need to preach to you about kingdom. So, our kingdom, you know, I believe in victory through Jesus Christ. Amen. So, when we got saved and the Lord called us out to, be pastors, we didn't go into a denomination, not because we have anything about against a denomination, but because we planted our church and we planted it outside of any denomination. We didn't know what we were really doing, We were gung-ho. We jumped out 9 years ago. We're going to start a church. And we started a church, and we, you know, we just had our ordination, and we had a commercial property, and we just started having church. And we've been saving souls and changing lives. That's our mission, to save souls and change lives for the glory of God. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. So I don't know what I was saying before I talked about that, the nomination. Oh, let me leave you with this. You are more than a conqueror. And I need you to, some of you are already there and some of you are trying to get there, but I need you to get the mindset that you are more than a conqueror. Let me finish my testimony. Because when I give my testimony, when I'm preaching out, people start crying. And I don't want to leave anybody open. So let me just finish giving my testimony. God healed me. God healed me. I was so angry. My sister, when she met my husband, God bless her soul, when she met my husband, she said, "You're dating her? She's a mean, that's a mean black girl. You don't know what you're getting into when you're getting Becky." She said, "That's a mean black girl. She's evil." And my sister was right. I was so mean, so angry. I was Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde. I pretended long enough to get my husband to the altar. And on my honeymoon, I showed them my true colors. Yes, I did. I showed them who he was really married to. And that's why that 7 years was so hard, because he showed me his true colors. And both of us were in the church, and we were in church for 7 years before we admitted that we were broken and that we needed to be healed. And when we admitted that we were broken and that we needed to be healed, then we were able to reach for the hem of his garment. We were able to cry out to God, cry out to Jesus, and God healed us. How did he do it? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Like the blind man, I was blind, but now I see. I was depressed, but now I have joy. I had no peace, but now I have a peace that surpasses all understanding. God is able. Let me tell you this. Whatever your situation, whatever you're walking through, no matter how hard it is, you've heard all my testimonies, molestation, drugs, alcohol, low self-esteem, no self-esteem, looking for love in all the wrong places, my husband and I fighting, wanting to get a divorce, cancer, oh, glory, my God. Dealing with haters in the church. I've even had a church split. It was a friendly one, but it was a church split. Being ostracized in the church, being talked about, lied on, persecuted, put on the outside, just put it on the outside. They tried to shut me up, shut me down. But, hey, you can't shut a good woman down. Come on, somebody. Can I get a witness? You cannot shut a good woman down. How many good ones? I got 4 on blab and a few on blog. You can't shut a good woman down. Open up the floodgates. Come on. It's time to get off the bench and do what God called you to do. It's time to get off the bench and shine like the brilliant star that you were created to be. It's time to get off the bench and stop letting life get the best of you. It's time to get off the bench and dare to be as beautiful, as brilliant, as anointed, as intelligent, as powerful as God has created you to be. It's time to get off the bench. Stop letting these situations get the best of you. Stop letting these situations make you hang your head. Stop letting life beat you up. You are, come on, slugger. All my life, I grew up in Newark. I had to fight. I fought this fight. But I don't fight with my fist anymore, because my weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down the strongholds. Amen. So come on and get out there and be the best you that you can be. Let me pray for you. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. We magnify your name. Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. Lord, I thank you for every woman that has assembled on Blab and that has assembled on Blog and the hundreds that will listen to the archives, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for every woman and woman-to-woman empowerment group and every woman, Father God, that's following me on woman-to-woman with Pastor Rebecca on Facebook, Lord. And I lift up each and every one of them to you right now. And God, I ask, Father God, that you will, Father God, let this word be revelation light, oh God, revelation light in the middle of a dark situation, oh God, that they will be encouraged, oh God, to continue to move forward in spite of the obstacles, in spite of the opposition, in spite of the haters, in spite of the naysayers, in spite of the negative report, in spite of the prognosis or the diagnosis, oh God, in spite of whatever is going on in their households with their children, their husbands, their marriages, their jobs, their career, their finances, no matter what they're going through, oh God, I lift up my sisters to you right now, God, and I speak victory over their lives right now, God, and we speak with a unified voice, and we say it is well in the name of Jesus, and we speak victory in the name of Jesus, and we speak, oh God, hallelujah, breakthrough over every circumstance in the name of Jesus. I speak breakthrough, break every chain, God, in the name of Jesus, break every chain, God. In the name of Jesus, break every chain. I speak breakthrough over every life. I speak healing over every life for every person that's been molested, every person that's been raped, oh God. I speak the balm of Gilead to be released over their lives through my testimony and the blood of the Lamb, that they will have the victory today. No more shame, no more guilt. In the name of Jesus, no more low self-esteem, no more feeling dirty and unworthy. Lord, thank you, hallelujah, for cleansing us. Lord, thank you for taking care of us, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for picking us up and healing us. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be made whole as we touch the hem of your garment. So, Lord, I thank you for my sisters who have tuned in and those who will tune in later through the archives. Continue to have your way in their lives. Continue to bless each and every one of them, oh God. And, Lord, we give you glory. We give you glory. We give you the glory. We give you the honor, and we give you the praise. And it's in the precious, matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, on whom we believe with all of our hearts and our minds and our souls, that we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, God bless you. I'll be back next Monday at 7 o'clock, and I'll be looking for you. So God bless you. Continue to pray for me as I pray for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to play a song as we go off the air. Those of you who are listening on blog, God bless you. I love you. God bless you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine just standing before the King? Oh, I can only imagine what